Silence. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us begin the tonight class. Let's sing him. Really enjoying the back there. Sing him 392. A cappella then? Any sister who have a brave enough, be like a David. Oh, David is a man. Deborah.
Yeah. people. Let's pray.
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Once you sing him together or the separate this way, it's different. Because I was stand there in the middle of there, the sounds is a separate soundtrack. It's very different. Three dimensional. It's a different way. It's amazing. Thank God. I thought it's a whiteboard we are here, but they reserve, so we cannot have it. Yeah. Now we can think about now, so one more time, we can think about the, but still we have a clear board with us, so it's okay. And then we can using the clear board. Okay, now let's draw the picture, draw this chart. Just put it in your mind, draw the cross, 1 to 5 here, or from here to 1 to 5 here, 6 to 11 here, and to the left side from start with a 12. So chapter 12, 2, what chapter is that? Chapter 16, right. From 17 to 21. So that you can draw first, because my brain capacity is only 5-6 chapters, so crosses really helps. And we think about from chapter 1, to just bring up the what is chapter 1. Let's just look at the whole word, the creations. It's beautiful. But the creations out there, the material creation was collapsed because of the man commit sin. And Even though later God chose the Israelites to brought them into the promised land, yet these people cannot continue follow up the Moses' laws. So this also spiritual, the kingdom also end up to be failed. Now we know the northern southern side of the kingdom, they were destroyed by the foreigners, Assyria, and then the what country is it? Babylon. Yeah. So they all just destroyed. So that was a fail. So now is a new this new plan, which is a Jesus bring the new covenant to create the this is a new creations. The new creation is when Jesus become flesh. I mean, the word become flesh, come to this world. So he showed that this is true love. This is a grace upon the grace. That's the chapter one, the pictures. Of course, the grace is beginning with the even the creation of the world in this world. But this grace is grace upon the grace, because we can join in the eternity. Because of word become flesh. He came to this world. God sent his begotten son to us. So let him die on the cross. And through the Lamb of God, he took all the sins away from us. So let us into the eternity. And this is the kingdom. That's what the John chapter 18, when Jesus talked to Pilate to talk about the true kingdoms. Are you the king of Judea? My kingdom, yeah, you says this kingdom. I am the king, but my kingdom not belongs to here, because my kingdom belongs to the eternity. So his kingdom is the come true to us because he become a flesh. When the John the Baptist look at the Jesus as a savior, the picture is he's the one to take away all our sins away, the Lamb of God. In the New Testament time, his first time he used the Lamb of God. Look at him. So even John the Baptist didn't know who's the one to be the anointed, you know, the Christ. But the Spirit of God told him, the one come to you and then baptize, and then see the heaven is open, and then Spirit of come down to the one, then this is the one. So Jesus baptized by the John the Baptist, and this is the beginning of his ministry started. But chapter one, just look at us, you know, this is the one, the picture of creations. And once you bring this picture toward to the, you know, book of Revelation chapter 22, the Revelation 22 mentioned that the Lamb of God, the throne of the Lamb of God, within the spiritual Garden of Eden. So this is the picture of new creations. Who can get into there? Those who born again with the water and spirit. Those who believe in him, those who receive him. And this is not born of blood. The water system. Anyway, so you just bring up and think about, you know, the chapter one pictures, and then Jesus he called the disciple, because that's the beginning of his ministry, and he as a master. He is leading this ministry by calling. You have noticed who is initiated. When the chapter one calling all four of them, we can say five, four anyway. But these disciples come to the Lord. Even when they come to the Lord, actually, Jesus himself initiate them to follow. Come and see. Come and see requires a great actions. Courageous heart. If they do not come, they cannot see it. So we look at the book of John, whole books. Anybody can see him. Anybody can come to him truly. They receive the glory. They can see the glory of God, which is the sign they mentioned, the seven signs they mentioned there. And also they can hear. They can see it. So but all the Jewish, I mean the Pharisees and Sadducees, these people come to the Lord, but they cannot see Jesus. Because their eyes are not open. They were totally blind. So they cannot see the glory of God. Jesus came to this world as a light in the darkness to save them but they don't want to join. They don't want to believe in him. So they are under the darkness, which means under the judgment of God. So when Jesus is calling this four of the disciples, initiated by the Lord Jesus, you can tell when. Chapter 7, right? Chapter 7, verse 44, and chapter 7, 65. It's okay, this is the last class, you don't have to write. Just enjoy yourself. And John chapter 6, chapter 6, verse 44 and 65. If you open the John chapter 15, when Jesus established a new relationship with his disciple, it's not you choose me, but I choose you, so that I send you, so you can bear the fruit. You are here, I'm here. It's not because of us, because he chose us, because he initiated us. So that's why we are here. That's why it's a great blessing. We can say this is a grace upon the grace. So chapter 1, what is the main thing we can bring out of the chapter 1? Grace of God. Once you look at the Lamb of God, it's a grace of God. Word became the flesh. It is grace of God. And also we are the one who initiated by him, that we can be brought here to the truth. You and I, we are the children of God now. We are the disciple of Jesus. How wonderful it is. So our job, I think our job is in the future, or even from now on, our job is we are to become a witness of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Acts chapter 1, when Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, he tell them, you receive a power from above, and then you go out, become my witness. Not only the Judea, but Samaria, but to all the world. So we become a witness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we go to chapter 2. Chapter 2. Look at the chapter 2. You can think about a picture, you know, chapter 2. Draw this chapter 2. Chapter 2 is whiteboard them very cool. I can make a, you know, that a triangle. I love triangle. Well, I guess the first point is a canna, you know. Water to wine. It's a physical change. But there's a message. There's a symbolical messages. That life is sometimes we lack of something. It seems like we are loser. But actually, many times as a Christian life, we lose something, but we don't have anything because we are handicapped ourselves. So we can trust in God. So we experience of God. True joy sometimes comes from that we taken away from us, that we can gain a lot of blessings. Sometimes God testing us. True, in your life and my life, sometimes God take away from you. Come to the sister. What is the most precious one in your life? Give it to me. I say, no. Then we have no chance to experience of God. Also, brother side, come. What is your most precious one in your life? Give me. And that times yourself came out, actually. You know what is the best for your life. I mean, what is the most precious in your life? Just like, you know, rich man came, and I don't know, the young man came to Jesus. How can I obtain the eternal life? Now, this man holding the two of them, but cannot let it go one. So he cannot follow Jesus. We know that, right? So how we can follow Jesus Christ? We can think about it. And sometimes it seems not easy. But if you truly we understand the grace of God, if you truly understand the hidden treasure within the Lord Jesus Christ, we can give up. When Abraham, the last test, give up your only son. Bring your son to the mountain that I show you, so offer for me. That's the testing. So Abraham next, I think he struggled. Thank God I'm not Abraham. At that time, if I were Abraham there, I myself, how come you asked me nonsense once. You gave it to me. See, God provide.
God is amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. God is amazing. God is an amazing God.
So, chapter 2, when you look at the picture in Cana, what is the true blessings? You know, later on, there's a kind of challenge come upon our life. Sometimes when you choose the job, what is best for you? You think about the things, about the material things, or your fame, or your life, your personal life, or glory of God. If you want to see the glory of God, give up. You find out the hidden treasure, give up. Then you can receive the true blessing of God. I know it's not easy to give up ourselves. But we truly love someone, we can give up ourselves. I say, if somebody asks me, can you give up my life for my wife? I say yes. I do not hesitate. I say, I can give up myself for my wife because I love her. And somebody asks me, can you give up my life for my children? I do not hesitate right away. Oh, of course I. It doesn't matter my life, because they are more important than me. How about God? I say, I have to say yes. It's obligation from my heart. I have to say yes, if I have to give up. So that's why this song is beautiful. You know, wherever you go, we can go. Then God provided. You know, that Abraham went up to Mount Moriah, and then he tried to set it up, altar. And then now he tied up to his own son. Take out the knife, about to kill him. Stop. I see your heart now. You don't have to kill your son. Now I know you truly love me. So they provided, there's a lamb and a cup by that is, what is it? And on the tree. So instead of his son, but this lamb bring it there to offer to God. This is the picture of Jesus, you know. That's one too. Submissions. But anyway, it's okay. So, sometimes God requires things that are very, very important in our life. I hope you can give up for God. You know? Then it's become a true blessing to you. And also blessing to me. So we always ask ourselves, what kind of faith we have? Is that we can step the two sides in this world? Or one side is God. We want to balance ourselves. Or which one we want to choose, our Lord, our Savior. It's up to you. You can choose the one, the right one for your life, that you will be blessed. True joy is, when you look at the life of Apostle Paul, rejoice always. When he was in the prison, can I rejoice in the prison? I'm not sure, but he's rejoiced always in a prison. Not he himself, but he's just sending the letter to the saint. Rejoice always. Amazing himself. His face is amazing. Because he can give up himself. How can I deny myself? He's struggling. One day we can do it. Hopefully you can do it. You can receive more blessing than I have then. But we can do one day. Hopefully today, then it becomes our blessings. Spirit of God, move your heart so that you can do it. Yeah. That's a true joy. Chapter 1 is a grace, but chapter 2 is a joy. And, you know, but this joy is that we have to cleanse ourselves. We have to have that temple of God within us. Cleanse our temple. Well, 1 Corinthians 3, main, we say, we have a temple of God within us. If we destroyed our temple, God has destroyed us. The you and I, we are temple of God within us. God himself, actually Jesus himself within us. Hope that we can maintain our, the temple of God
with the holy, pure enough to receive all the blessing. And also, when we kneel down, we pray to God. If the sin is between God and us, our voice cannot reach to Him. So if we have a sin within us, repent. There's no other alternative way. Only one way. We come to God, humbly we bow down, repent. All the sin that we have. So straighten our way, our path to our Lord Jesus, straight away to Him. So this is the communication. You know, because a husband and wife, we have anything between us, then the relationship right away, there's an impact right away. Husband and wife, once you get married, you know that later. How sensitive it is. Once the little things, that there's a disagreement, you know, until yesterday, last night, I love you, and the next morning, something not then reserve, I say, I love you. Of course, I love you, but there are little things. The same thing between God and us. The little things, if it's there, it's not clean enough, then the relationship already kind of shake. So between God and us. So I mentioned about the, you know, example, like, you know, book of Joshua, you know, the Jericho, and then after city of Ai mentioned. So hope that after these 2 weeks we go back, be alive yourself to be pure enough to see God. This is the blessing. This is one of the blessing. Bless the pure in heart, you can see God. I hope we can see God. Of course, with physical eyes cannot see God. No one can see Him yet. With our heart, with our prayer, within the spirit, we can see Him. Yeah. So that's a triangle chapter 2. Oh, since I put it here, so it's very awkward. At the beginning, I thought it's not here, but now it's here. Now, so go to chapter 3. Chapter 3. We did chapter 3. It a little bit? Yes. Yes. You know, because don't expect to finish the old book of John, but as long as you can feel it, as long as you can get the sense of this, you know, I'm just trying to let you know when you read the book of John, you can bring up, because when you read the Bible, you can find out there's a spiritual dimension. Then it becomes your blessing. Until it bring up the spiritual dimension. Sometimes the word of God is very dry. So you can pray to God and bring up this dimension up so that you can understand. And once, you know, when you, because most of you now, after 3 years, and you share the salt, you know, your message, right? A sermon, a drill. Once you see the three dimension, which is inspire, what is the inspiration you're coming in that you can tell? The message is up, you know, can feel it. So when you read the Bible, trying to do your best and pray to God, let me have this spiritual dimensions. Then it's, you get that core inspiration. So chapter 3. Let's draw chapter 3 then. We cross this one, now we have to go to chapter 3. Christian have to born again, yeah. We know that. Savior come from above. If you look at the chapter 3, the story message about that he's from above. So the Savior come from above. And then third part, we can say eternal life is the way to obey and then believe in Jesus. So that's how we can gain the eternal life. Um,
Once this one came up, then it become a three-dimensional. But anyway, the central theme we can say about the chapter 3, we can say this is a kingdom of God or salvation. I say salvation come from above. Salvation come from above. Salvation come from above, because the Savior come from above. So when Jesus talked to Nicodemus, what I'm speaking is, the flesh is flesh, and spirit is spirit. What I'm speaking to you is a spirit. Because this salvation, this born again, is not a physical born again, but spiritual born again. Once we're born again Christian, we can get into the eternity. So which is the way of the salvation. Jesus came to this world, he died on the cross as a high priest. Let's look at the book of Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 from verse 17. That's too many. It's okay. That's okay. That's too much. But you can read it as a reference. Chapter seven from verse 17. But we can skip to from verse 22. So much the more, also Jesus has become the guarantee of the better covenant. We're talking about the new covenant. I'm sure because now you understand. 23. And the former priests, on the one hand, existed in the greater number because they were prevent by the death from continuing. 24. But he, on the other hand, because he abides forever, hold his priesthood permanently. Hence also he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make interceding for them. For it is fitting them that we should have such a high priest, hold innocent, undefiled, separated from sinner, and exalt above the heaven. Verse 27, who does not need daily, like those high priest, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Because Jesus died on the cross after that. Now once it's enough for us, our sin can be all washed away. So his blood can apply to us, that our sin also can be forgiven. I talk about this new covenant, book of Jeremiah chapter 31 to 34, that part. This kingdom is in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, also mentioned that. Ezekiel chapter 37 from 24. Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 24 to 28. And my servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. And they will walk in my ordinance, and they keep my statute, and observe them. 25. And they shall live on the land that I gave to Jacob, my servant, in which you your father lived. And they will live on it, they and their sons, and their sons' sons forever. And David, my servant, shall be their prince forever. And I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be the everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and they will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. This sanctuary is not talking about the physical sanctuary. This is a sanctuary talking about spiritual sanctuary, which is the spiritual kingdom of God. This is talking about the church also. So also he mentioned about this covenant, a covenant of peace. This is not covenant that were the first covenant that what God made between God and Abraham, but this one is covenant between Jesus. It's a new covenant with us. So this is But this is the new kingdom that established by the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a great picture here. So I mentioned about the, you know, baptism. Baptism, importance of a baptism. So if you join, if you are not part of the new covenant, that means you are cut away from the Lord. Same thing like a concept in Old Testament time. Anybody who do not, any man, male, do not have a circumcision, then this one can cut away from God. So same concept, which everlasting covenant continue toward to us now in now this generation. So I mentioned the Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13, right? This is the circumcision without hands. Now it is baptism. You and I will be baptized. So we establish the covenant between God and us. This is an everlasting covenant. This is a new covenant, also replace the covenant of the circumcision now toward to the baptism. So new kingdom, all kingdom has to circumcise physically, but new kingdoms not physically circumcised, but spiritually circumcised, not by hands, by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. So we are now joined there. We belongs to God. So it's wonderful. It is a grace upon the grace. So this is salvation come from above. Salvation come from above. So Jerusalem coming down to us from heaven. This is the kingdom of God. So Jesus come from above. And also, because I mentioned before, you know, talk about the baptism. So, yeah, what I said to you is, Jesus says, in the name of Jesus, baptize. That's from me, okay? That's if. So, don't think that. Don't confuse. So, whether you take it or not, it's up to you. But because Acts chapter 4, only the name of Jesus can be save us. And also Jesus, when they come here, the word become flesh. He received this name from his Father. You know that the name come from above his Father. So my belief, when Jesus baptized his disciple, how he can baptize? Even though he baptized them, I'm sure because it's because he's God himself, it's no problem. But my guess. So don't take it as a truth, because it's just my view. Okay, so don't. Otherwise, I'm being killed. So please. And also, I mentioned that because at that time Jesus performed the baptism, he baptized his disciple even before he died. So how we can explain that? I mentioned it, right? And also, when Jesus. So I using the example as Jesus already performed the Holy Communion before he died on the cross. So his blood, you know, already applied actually. Because of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Holy Spirit is beyond the time and space. So once you understand that, it's very simple, clear understand. What is John the Baptist? This forgiveness of their sin. And also I just mentioned that this is also my belief. So whether you take it or not, it's up to you. But I just based on the scriptures, I mentioned that. Yeah, that's all. So I'm not preaching the heresy. Make sure. So then thank God. Now we go to the chapter 4. Chapter 4 here is the same thing. Chapter 4, triangle. Beloved my triangle. And the chapter 4 is the first one. Chapter 4 is what? Samaritan woman, right? Samaritan woman. Simple. SWNS. Samaritan woman, now they try the conversations between the Jesus in the Jacob's well. And later, you can tell the Samaritan woman thirstier. Lonely. She has a, I feel like she has a extreme loneliness.
So that's why she even changed the five husbands. Now she has a sixth one, but not legally married. She's a very capable lady, I guess, but it doesn't matter. But the thing is, she cannot satisfy even the sixth one. Remember when you get married, after you get married, look at your husband, always trying to say, this is my number one. No matter what, this is my number one. No matter he become bold later, doesn't matter, number one. True. Only the own husband is number one. Maybe you think that my next door husband is much better. Why I met this one to my life is trouble. Don't never think that way, okay? Because your husband is number one. Everybody's the same. Once you go out, look at all same. No, all different. Because God created each one differently. What I'm saying is that humans is always the same. We do not get married because we want to satisfy our desire. We want to get married because we want to be a life partner to support each other. Because I want to help my spouse. Otherwise, you'll never be satisfied. True. First time I get married, and I expect many things. My wife put the you know, glass here. She's looking for always. And I say, you're right here. Oh, thank you. And then next time, put it here. Where's my glasses? I say, right here. And then she put in the, you know, car key. Put it here. Where's the car key? Right here. Take care of yourself. But after a few years, I trained myself. I enjoy it. I changed it without knowing that, oh, she needed me. I followed that. I can help my looking for the glass. Oh, she said, oh, where's my glass? Oh, don't worry, I find it for you. Well, I enjoy myself. Because once I find it, then my wife, you know, reward is, oh, my beloved husband. So I like to enjoy what she's saying, the good, great reward. Things can change. Yeah, things can change. Yeah. So think about, you know, when you think about the life, how we can satisfy. Flesh is limited. Flesh is limited. So don't think that, you know, do not look at the how beautiful they are, but you look at their characters. Also, as a Christians, if we have the same faith, everybody is beautiful. Everybody is handsome. Doesn't mean that you can just close your eyes, which minimum. No, not that way, but you have to pray to God, okay? It doesn't mean that you minimum. This one is no, you know. It's, once you close your eyes, open the Bible, that's the truth. It's not that kind of things, okay? Marriage, we have to pray to God. So God leads you to find out the right one for you. So everybody different personality and characters. So they can choose the right one. God give you the satisfaction. Between the husband and wife, God is there, then your life can be satisfied. If God is not there, no matter what you do, you cannot be satisfied. Especially we were Christian before. I mean, we are Christian now. Our satisfying, our seeking is not money. Our seeking is not things belongs to here. Because our seeking is belongs to heaven, things above. That's why, because once the husband and wife, we're seeking God, naturally we become one. Then there is a true satisfaction. And this woman doesn't have that kind of a life, Samaritan woman. So always her life is struggling, changing the first one, go away. Second one, you too, go away. And the two, three, four, five. Sixth one doesn't. There's no satisfaction, sir. But actually, because of the actual sin, is actually she involved more herself into the sin, actually. She couldn't help it. Really, she couldn't help it. So the Jesus came to her in her life. If you ask me, then I give you living water that leads you eternal life. No one can help, but Jesus can help her. Her thirst, her desire. And look at this next one. Now, because this lady jumped in, I just...
She find out the Christ. Yes. I find the Messiah, the one that mentioned in the, you know, scripture. And then she preached the gospel. It was amazing that all the people, they listened to her. They come to the Lord. But the one, the Jewish, they don't come to the Lord Jesus. But these people come to the Lord. It was amazing. That then we can tell the Samaritans, they actually thirsty about the word of God. That's why when even the lady, the Samaritan woman came into their town, her town, and preached, you know, I saw the Messiah. People, really? And they come to the Lord. So since they are thirsty about the word of God, and then once they listen to the word of God from the Jesus, they can understand the eternity. So they believe in Jesus Christ. So they ask him to stay 2 days. So they stay there, Jesus, and preach the gospel. More and more people believe in Jesus Christ. And then later they told the woman, it's not because of what you say, because what we hear from him. Now I believe in him. Who can change the Samaritan, which is their bondage? You know, Samaritans' life, how pitiful themselves at that time. Once they were born, end up they are mixed up races. It's not their fault. But and the Jewish treat them like a dog. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? No one can change their bondage. But it's not their fault. Actually, you know, if I'm the Samaritan, I want to challenge to the, you know, the Jewish. I go to Jerusalem. You know why I become a Samaritan? Because of you. You know, all time you commit sin, so that because we Northern Kingdom was destroyed. Remember? But anyway, this bondage no one can take away. But Jesus came to them, keep them free. Because they're thirsty about the word of God. And then who can make them such kind of quench their thirst? Yeah? Only Jesus. Jesus can come to them in their life, change their life. The word of God. That's such a powerful. And then the story about the noble man. This is the point three, right? Noble man. Your life, my life, one day you're sick and I'm sick. I'm hospitalized. Who can help me? If I have a, you know, terminal illness in my life, you know, I have a cancer, or I have a something that I have my life is 6 months, or I say thank God because I can go to paradise anyway. For me, it's okay. But my wife and children, they suffer. So, but anyway, for me, it's okay. But anyway, you know, nobleman's son is sick. He's a powerful man. He has money. He has positions. But he cannot help. Who can help? Only Jesus can help. And Jesus came to noble man. Please come to my place to help my son to, because my son is sick. But at that time, Jesus say, you know, it's not to Jesus respond to him actually. Once you look at the story, Book of John chapter 4. Chapter 4 verse 47 and 48. When he heard that Jesus had come out of the Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was requesting him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. 48. Jesus therefore said to him, unless you people see sign and wonder, you simply will not believe. Remember, this word is not personally talked to this noble man. So I mentioned that, right? What Jesus is saying is his word is in spirit. It's not personally respond to him. Remember that, this word. But he's talking about the generations. This is a perfect generation, evil generations. What they're seeking is a sign. Anybody who's seeking the sign means that they are very, very stubborn generations. So Jesus, he mentioned about that. But after that, and then he begging to Jesus, my son is about to die. My child is, It's about the point there's a about to die. And then Jesus says, go your way, your son leaves. Okay, now,
you mean his son is healed. The word of God. Such a powerful, one statement is enough to heal the son. Son is not there even. So here talking about the word of God is beyond the time and space. Beyond time and space. So if we have if your desires here not quenched, your desire, somehow you cannot satisfy your within your life because Jesus is not coming into our life. Maybe we are the lost son to be. Maybe our life is because we want to walk away from the Jesus. So we have to think about that. Once Jesus comes into our life, we can satisfy. Because when you remember when you receive the Holy Spirit, the moment, how great it is. Our church, you know, the way we receive the Holy Spirit, it's not like other churches, like falling down and struggling and 380 degree and continue to circle around. We don't do that. We don't do it, you know, just laughing like that. Our spirit is a true spirit when you receive. The one spirit coming down to you, your heart can feel that. Oh, such joyful. Remember when your moments. That's what it is. Satisfaction has come from there. Maybe these 2 weeks you can try yourself. Sometimes not enough. You can meditate upon it. Our life. Not just only crying, but think about our life. Sometimes when we find out who I am, myself, when we know ourselves, then we can see our God too. So think about it. What is your desire within your heart? Is that our Lord Jesus Christ the first priority? Is He's become my life or my husband to be for everlasting husband myself to my life? You can think about it. So I can say here's chapter 4 is it's a word. The powerful word. The word of God can quench you. Word of God can heal you. Word of God can satisfy you. Now we can see chapter 4 and then chapter 5. Chapter 5 is 38 years, right? Chapter 5. 38 years. Sick. This man. And also, what happened is 38 years old, this man was sick, and then we know this nonsense question from Jesus. Verse 6. This is what Jesus said, nonsense ways. Do you wish to get well? Of course. I've been seeking for 38 years. You foolish? Don't you see me with my situation like this? And then this man right away says, verse 7, when Jesus saw him, verse 7, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirring up. But while I'm coming, another step down before me. So I have no chance to get into the water when the water was stirring up. So I always losing the chance, my chance to be in the waters to be cured. One thing I learned that why Jesus asked him, well, you just think about it. Remember, this is not a truth, because because when you read the Bible, try do your best to put yourself into the situation there. Then it's enjoyable. When I next to that person, when Jesus say to this person, I next to you, look at Jesus and look at this man. You can think about it. Why Jesus say to this man, do you wish to get well? Then I think about this man never think about his sin actually. Have you noticed that? This man never think about where this sickness came from. He never thought about it. Only his desire is healing of his sickness. So actually the question here, when Jesus mentioned as, do you wish to get well? Truly you want to get well. Think about yourself. But this man actually didn't think about that much. Later Jesus said, take up your pallet and walk. Yeah, this man did it. So but later on the Jewish people, who did it? When you picking up the pallet and then you walk, this is against the Sabbath. You break the Sabbath. I can tell those are Jewish people, like those are such a stubborn heart. They're supposed to be rejoiced with him. The one who's sick for 38 years now, they can see that this man was the sickness to be healed. They're supposed to be rejoiced with him. Who did it? Let us joy together. But they say, you're supposed not to take up this pallet. You break the, you break the Sabbath. You can tell the heart. That's at that time, so these people's heart. Of course, they're blind. Spiritual blind themselves. So actually, who's the one truly seeking people? It's not the 38 years old one. I mean, all the sick. Actually, the one who accused Jesus. Accused him also. That's the Jewish people. They are the truly sick people. Jesus mentioned that my father working, so I working, I working too. See that your children when 8 days, even though Sabbath day you still do the circumcision, right? Jesus tell them, it's to kind of bring up like a joke to them, man. You people stubborn heart, actually you are the seeking people. Jesus actually talk to them. His work. That's what Jesus here, the verse 21, 22, it says, for just as the Father raised the dead and gave them life, even so the Son also gave life to whom he wished. I wish to let him walk because my Father then doing it. And then verse 22, for not even the Father judge anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. Remember, I bestow that my Father has this judgment authority given to me. So, which means, if you don't believe me, remember, you will face the judgment of God. Such kind of stubborn heart. Your sickness cannot be healed, which means spiritual sickness. So actually, the 38 years, quite long period of time suffer. This is just one single, one person. But Jesus, actually, I wish you can be healed, actually. Take up your pallet, go. But these people, Jewish people, those who accuse Jesus, he's working on the Sabbath, which is doing the good things. But they cannot see it. They are the one who true sick man. But their sins remain because they do not believe in Jesus. So chapter 5 later on talking about anybody who hear the voice in verse 25, there's kind of talking about two resurrections. So this is the point here, the two resurrections, three points. Truly, truly I say to you, an hour is coming, now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who shall hear shall live. Anybody who dead, yet they hear my voice. Respond me, which is believe in me, they may have a life. Verse 26, for just as the Father has a life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to give life to himself. Verse 27, and he gave him authority to execute the judgments because he is the Son of Man. Don't confuse this. I mentioned that, right? He executed the judgment, talking about the God himself. Not the one the word become flesh. Make sure, because you understand.
Get it? Don't confuse this, okay? Jesus, double mind or what? Somebody, he doesn't like it and judgment is upon, you know. Or he likes, then there's no judgment. What kind of, the two standard? No, he has one standard. 28 and 29, this is what we're looking for on the last day. When we hear the voice, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, in which all who are in the tomb shall hear his voice, shall come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who commit the evil deeds to resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. So you're talking about Jesus. He can judge upon you, but still is righteous enough because God is with me. This judgment is not my judgment, but the one who come from my Father. So my judgment is right. So after the talking about the doors of witness and then John the Baptist and then and the witness of a Father, which is the God Himself, and the Scriptures. They seeking the Scriptures. But they search the scripture for the everlasting life, but they cannot believe because the love of God is not within their heart. Jesus pointed out there. So even though you want to have this life, eternity, but you cannot have it. Which means this one's a cure, but you cannot be cured. Even though you're looking for the Bible, scriptures, for the life. Even though Jesus bring to them as a total grace, but this man applied, but the one the Jewish people do not apply. Now we can go to the chapter 6. We have 3 minutes still. So chapter 6 is chapter 6, this is our belly, okay, chapter 6, feed 5,000. So it's a 5,000, feed 5,000. 5,000, feed 5,000. Feed 5,000. And then, there's the bread for the flesh. And Jesus himself later mentioned about the second point, I can say, the food that Jesus, the one from verse 16 to 59, I divided here for the second sections. It's okay, never mind. So projector is not my life anyway. So chapter 6 from verse 16 to 59. In this section, so there's one more signs, which is the Jesus walk on the water. Then I thought about how can I fit it into these pictures? How can I fit it into this picture? Actually, I quite struggle myself when I'm making these outlines. How can bring this as a separate one or into it? But we can understand that Jesus himself is a mighty God. He walked on the water. So showing that he's beyond the natural law. He's such a power, you know, such an almighty God. But I'm trying to feed 5,000 because chapter 6, there's one theme, the bread of life. I am the bread of life. That's the thing, man. But anyway, so bread of life is one. I just pointed out the bread of life, and then bread of Jesus. I mean, and himself, and Jesus himself to be our daily bread that becomes our blessings. Have you noticed that when you look at the Ark of Covenant in Old Testament time, what's inside of there? Some kind of combination there? Aaron's stuff?
And then manna's, if manna stay inside the ark, maybe rotten there. And then 10 commandments. Yeah, I think it's in the Ark of Covenant. There's 10 commandments. Yeah. The only thing is why I put these two is because of Book of Hebrews chapter 9. Because in the Book of Hebrews chapter 9 says there's Aaron's staff and then the manna's. But if you look at Old Testament, because I learned that when I was in TTP, we says there's Aaron's staff and 10 commandments and manna's. And then our teacher says, you look at the Bible, think. Look at the Bible. Look at the Bible, think why. But end up find out there's one thing, 10 commandments. Then I find out why only 10 commandments? This is the only everlasting one. If you look at the manna, when Jesus here, the John chapter 6, doesn't say, those people who eat the manna, they all died anyway. But the one come from above, from heaven, to eat my bread can have everlasting life. Then why Book of Hebrews chapter 9, there's a why this manna inside of the ark? Because the word of God is everlasting. And Aaron's staff also. In Old Testament time, Aaron's staff is in front of the ark. New Testament time, in Hebrews chapter 9, the inside of the ark. Why? I thought about it. But once you look at the book of Peter, time is over, sorry. We can continue this John chapter 6 tomorrow. We have 3 hours, so even though we don't finish the book of John, please don't blame me or do not accuse me. Please forgive me. Let's pray in silence. Amen.